Okay, this is Jenny from Scary Little Girls, and I'm with Kenneth. And Kenneth came to our Grandpound chatty cakey tea, and I'm now at Kenneth and Jenny's home, and Kenneth is telling us his poem.
Within a Cornish village dwelt, a few short years ago, two miners, who together worked in a tin mine below. One served the Lord, and loved to walk within the way to heaven. The other would not come to Christ, that he might be forgiven. And when the Holy Sabbath came, one went to church to pray. The other roved the fields and lanes, and quite misspent the day. He visited the alehouse too, where sin and misery meet, until at last he learned to sit upon the scorner's seat. The good man often spoke to him, and said his course was wrong, and bade him fly to Jesus Christ, who makes the weakest strong. And in his closet neath the thatch, when stars were in the sky, he prayed for him with lifted hand and earnest, fearful eye. The Christian miner left his bed one lovely summer morn, what time the lark did soaring sing above the rustling corn. He crossed his little garden bower, where roses clustered greet, and down the lane towards the mine he went with willing feet. A song of praise was in his soul, upon his lips a prayer. His wife and those he loved so dear in memory held sweet. Echo of the woods, the music of the stream, the thatcher's whistle on the reeds, where darting swallows gleam. He wipes the gushing tear away, and prays the Lord to keep him safe from danger and alarm, when in the mine shaft deep, and, if he willed it, bring him home his loving friends to greet, that they together once again might worship at his feet. The birds that sang upon the bough, or carol in the air, the waters murmuring on his way adown the valley fair, the dewdrops shining on the grass, the flowers upon the sod, the breezes whispering through the leaves were telling him of God. He reached the mine, and down he went with psalm and silent prayer. And though it was darkness all around, he felt his Saviour there. The love of Christ was in his soul. His daily toil seemed light, cheered by the blessed Comforter and heaven before his sight. Down, still down, and downward still, until he reached at last the very bottom of the shaft, the solid rock to blast. Darkness before him and behind, around him and above, but in the miner's happy soul there beamed the light of love. He and his comrades bored a hole with drill and mallet slow. A third did at the windlass stand to draw them from below. Then in the hole with careful hands the powder charge they drop, and fill it with a tender stone and tap it to the top. Before the powder charge is placed, the proper course, and sure, is that the fuse should be cut off the hole's length and no more. Then one should in the bucket ride, and on the platform stay. The other fired the safety fuse, and soon be drawn away. But now the fuse was left attached to that upon the reel. They cut it with a stone of flint against a drill of steel, and fire was struck. Yes, fire was struck. Like lightning, forth it came, as quickly and as suddenly the fuse doth hiss and flame. They to the bucket dashed at once, and shrieked again. Their comrade at the windlass strove to lift them both, in vain. One could escape, and only one. He could not lift the two. Delay was certain death to both. Alas, what should they do? The good man from the bucket stepped, serene and placid now. No fear was in his trustful soul, a light was on his brow. And looking in his comrade's face, a mighty power was given. Escape, he cried, a minute more and I shall be in heaven. On sped the bucket up the shaft, its steady course was kept, until at last he felt he was safe, and on the platform and on the landing stepped. Then he lent him o'er the pit and gazed into the gloom, eager to know the fate of him who saved him from the tomb. Just then the explosion's hollow roar came rumbling from below, hurling a fragment of the rock which struck him on the brow, leaving a scar which time himself will never more efface, till death o'ertakes him on his way and ends his earthly race. Full soon, among the fallen rock, with trembling and with dread, in silent anguish they began to burrow for the dead. But great their joy when they removed the outer flinty blocks, to hear his cheering voice of praise ring underneath the rock. Yes, here he was, the man of God, roofed over with a stone, and not a single hair was singed, no bruise or broken bone. Alive and well, the Son of Man was with him in the flame, and not a single hair was singed when forth the hero came. He smiled on all around him there when stepping from his tomb, and such a shout went up to heaven from that old mineshaft's gloom, a shout which angels joyed to hear upon the plains of light, who, from their holy homes, looked down well pleased upon the sight. The God he served forsook him not in danger's darkest hour, but by him in the deep mine stood, and saved him by his power. The powder blast, the sulphurous fire, the splitting, crashing ground as if an earthquake rent the rock, roared rude, though harmless, round. He told them that when left alone, his saviour seemed so near, and in a corner of the shaft he sat, and felt no fear, that he held up before his eyes a portion of the rock, and knew in Jesus he was safe to wait the final shock. He heard the fuse hiss more and more, the fire is on its road, and then with hollow rumbling roar a hole did soon explode. And when again his reason came, he heard his comrades shout, and felt a hand among the flints which quickly helped him out. Oh, what a miracle of love! Oh, what a power is here to cause the infidel to blush, the weak in faith to cheer. Oh, what a noble hero he, whose history thus we tell, sublime in deeds of loftiness which kings cannot excel. I look abroad where battles rave and the deeds of woe are done, and hands are red with human gore, at which might blush the sun. Where man shoots down his fellow man, or lops his limbs with steel, or gores him in his lust for blood which angry demons feel. I look abroad on scenes like these, where men of boasted fame have tens of thousands sacrificed to gain a warrior's name. Within the Cornish village, have cities sacked and towns destroyed and countries in their ire, making a burial field of earth with famine, sword and fire. Then think I of this Christian man who in the mine's dark cave, when danger came, gave up himself his comrade's life to save. I place them side by side and ask of every age and state, the high, the low, the rich, the poor, which is the truly great? One is wise and only he who knows his sins forgiven, who walks by faith and not by sight, whose life is hid in heaven, who in the fountain has been washed, from sin's disease made whole, and travels to his journey's end with Jesus in his soul. Reader, the tale I tell is true. The hero still survives in one of Cornwall's cottage homes, and for his saviour strives. His time and all he owns below to Jesus does he give, and preaches by his daily walk, repent, believe, and live. Art thou a stranger from the Lord, in sin's forbidden track? Forsake the way that leads to death, O weary one. Turn back. Receive the pardon freely given by the Redeemer's love, and walk in wisdom's narrow path to rest in heaven above. There is a God All nature cries. I see it painted on the skies. I see it in the flowing spring. I hear it when the birdlings sing. I see it in the flowing main. I see it on the fruitful plain. I see it stamped in hail and snow. I see it where the streamlets flow. I see it in the clouds that soar. I hear it when the thunders roar. I see it when the morning shines. I see it when the day declines. I see it in the mountain's height. I see it in the smallest mite. I see it everywhere abroad. I feel, I know there is a God. Sorry about the... My great, 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 great grandfather wrote that.
What was his name?
He was...
Sweet.
I'll have to look it up.
I think we'll look it up.
Anthony Prophet. And that's inside the front page. So that all this was written before the generation of children that he produced, which is on the very back page. Obviously, he wouldn't have started with that on the front page. So it's written sometime, I guess, before 1780.
Gosh, before 1780.
Because he was married at Cornelli Church.
Oh, yes.
Oh. And I've got the date of his marriage, and I took a photo for you of that last page with the generation of his family, 13 children. Which is that one?
Yes.
Anthony called Prophet. Yes, it was Anthony.
Yes, yes.
But he didn't know what his wife was.
Ah. Oh, no. And
but he had 13 children, all of whom survived, some of whom emigrated to Canada to Fingerboard and Orillia in Oregon.
Oh, my gosh. Goodness me. And where did Anthony live? Where was he?
That he had a small holding in Goranhoy Lanes.
Ah, really?
And he moved from there to Bethel.
Did he?
And... on the corner above the Bethel crossroads.
Yes.
He had a 2-acre small holding. Upon which my grandfather, Arthur Prophet, built a house for himself and a pair of bungalows, one for his son, my mother, and one for his son, my Uncle Fred, and one for my mother, Olive. And he sold another one to William Wesley Walcock for a bungalow. And another on the corner for an old sea captain, Mr. Rowett. So,
wow.
Yeah, well, that's 500 yards in that direction.
In that direction.
And that out there is a field where I used to fly my model aircraft.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Just here.
There's all sorts. I didn't know what you want. I thought I'd get that one out because you might think it's been done already.
Ooh, there we are, the Sweet family of Mid Cornwall. Ken Sweet at his home in St Austell. Ah, and this is in the Narratives of the Family, Kinship and Identity in Cornwall.
Yes, I knew his dad and his uncle.
Gary Tregidger. Yes.
His uncle was Scratchy Jack, a blacksmith from St Lazy.
Really?
And
Scratchy
his father
Jack?
Was ran a blockworks up at Pemberthick.
Oh my gosh. I see. And this is all of it here, the Sweet family.
Yeah, that's that photograph.
Yeah. Gosh. So it's all in there. So this book is to purchase? Is this sort of in various, where is it printed by? Oh, okay. Oh, Crescent Kerner. Yes. Yeah, lovely. So that should be in Crescent Kerner already, the copy of this. But how lovely that we've got your the poem there, Anthony's poem. Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Oh, well, that's amazing. I mean, I think that was what Shaz spoke to you about, or what you spoke to Sharon about, and I think...
Well, I know that she was particularly taken with the poem.
She really was, as was I, in tears in the kitchen. So that's That's wonderful that you could do that for us. Is it all right if I ask you,